Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of October, recording at 7:34 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, $52 a barrel for the price of oil. Above 52, actually, as I speak. But stock markets still holding their nerve. The trade-off, I think, here is the good news, bad news. Bad news for equities in general, oil shares accepted, oil and gas shares accepted, is that the price of crude is rising, and it's above levels that anybody has forecast other than the technicians. Incidentally, when the crowd forecasts or all extrapolates the oil price trend, in other words, when everybody's agreeing that the oil price is going higher, it'll probably be, the peak will probably be imminent. But the trade-off, say, that's the bad news for equities. The good news is that central banks are factoring this into their interest rate equation, and therefore expectations for higher short-term interest rates have waned. The most people expect now is another quarter point hike in the UK and probably in the US as well. And I think that's probably pretty close to the mark. And they're also concluding that the ECB is actually on hold. And as you know, higher interest rates have always been bull market terminator number one. Nothing else is even close in terms of terminating bull markets. As you know, I said that that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, but it's certainly in a rally phase here right now. And whether that rally phase carries on throughout the rest of the year and into January, into the new year, first quarter of the new year, will depend not only on the oil price, but obviously on interest rate perceptions. So, as I say, bad news for stock markets, rising oil price. Good news for stock markets, people are less fearful about higher interest rates. But if this oil price rise continues unabated, nerves are likely to crack at some point. That's pretty much a no-brainer. You know, the real guessing game, though, is at what price. And nobody knows, but we'd see the downward dynamics on the charts. That hasn't occurred yet. Okay, what else can I mention in here? Wall Street's been mostly on the minus side here today, but it's up a little bit right now. Nearly 10 on the Dow, 161 on the S&P, so the Dow's lagging up 0.72 on the NASDAQ. These are tiny gains. Obviously, Europe a bit mixed, quite quiet. Overall, few up slightly, a few down slightly. One of the better performers here today was the Nikkei, up almost 1%. The second section, after a little pause yesterday, pushed a bit higher yesterday as well. So the Nikkei's been recouping recently, saving me further embarrassment, because I know that some of you opened long trades when I opened long trades, and we saw the market move against us for what, a week or two. And those of you who didn't open long trades took out options, so better action there overall. Elsewhere, some of these markets look a little overextended in the short term, a little overbought, and this is a critical week, as I've said before. We really need to see the gains that took place on Monday pretty well maintained throughout this week to avoid a repeat of that pattern that I'd mentioned before, where stock markets would get a good rally within this year's trading range, falter, come down, frighten people a bit for, say, a week or two, then push back up, move slightly higher, and not maintain that second gain and flop, and then go back down and test the lower side of the range or worse. So if we continue to maintain, say, Monday's gains in here for today on Wall Street and Thursday and Friday of this week, then I feel that the odds will have improved even further that the rallies will continue and that we will see more of the developed markets emulate what we have seen in so many of the developing markets, which is to break out of this year's ranges on the upside, and despite the oil price. But remember, these are still dangerous times, as I said in my report today. Very exciting, though, isn't it? And there are always opportunities for people who are flexible of mind and know how to look at charts. And if you don't want to be jumping in and out of things and taking on speculative trades, well, don't even think about doing that. Just bide your time in here. And I know that some quite conservative investors are doing just that. Okay, I had a new trade in here today, as you know, and a little bit risky there in the silver standard resources, maybe a bit of an impulsive purchase. I look at that off and on and think, oh my goodness, why didn't I have that, or why didn't I have more of that? And the pattern I can justify buying that, even though we are silver standard resources is quite close to that to the year's earlier high. The NDZ report, incidentally, that I posted is really well worth reading. I know sometimes people say, well, they don't have time to go through the articles and so on, but if you're going to read one, read that one here, because he makes some very, very important points. And he's suggesting that we watch that oil price very closely, and also the relationship to Shanghai property prices. Well, I'm not sure how we can do that too much on a daily, day-to-day basis, or rely on Andy Z and others to monitor that. We can certainly monitor the oil price here very closely. But basically, he's talking about these bubbles that have inflated so many markets. Okay, moving on here, bonds. Now, I'm pleased to see the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond futures for December down 22 points as I speak. That's 22.32, down to 111.01. I've got a short position there, and also in the JGBs. I've got the bigger position in JGBs by about almost a 3-to-1 ratio. Now, the JGBs and also the bonds had shown a little bit of loss of downward momentum recently, and I was a little concerned lest they rally, let alone produce an upward dynamic. But well, that would occur, certainly, I suspect, if we saw a downward dynamic in the stock markets. But not happening in here today, at any rate. I'm just going to put up that chart of the U.S. Treasury bonds, because that is at the lows of the day, and well, that's quite favorable action for those of us who are running short positions. Okay, in the currency markets, nothing much going on. You know, we had the euro back away from that lateral resistance just above 124 against the U.S. dollar. It's trading here at 122.76 right now, down a little bit on the day. These currencies are still in very, very tight trading ranges. My best guess, and it really is a guess because these are range-bound markets, is that the dollar may be forming some sort of little medium-term base, but probably within a longer-term bearish trend. And like everyone else, I have trouble scripting a bull case for the U.S. dollar beyond a bear squeeze. But, you know, we have to be careful about that sort of consensus generally. Anybody who's lived through a few market cycles, as most of you know, is that there's no greater danger than the consensus. Or when we do get a strong consensus, you want to look for the first hint of technical evidence that they're wrong, and the market will probably get quite a good run against that consensus view on the basis that everybody else starts stopping out and reversing their positions. Okay, on to the commodity markets in here today. Well, I mentioned that oil price, 52.02, as I speak, another new high for the year, so this is really motoring. And if I look at metal prices. Silver romped in here again today, currently 722, been as high as 724 and a half, so following through on the upside. Natural gas, a little bit of profit taking in here today, but that's had an awfully strong run recently, much bigger percentage gain in than we've seen in the oil contracts, but of course natural gas had by far the bigger slide in percentage terms in August. Corn, this is not maintaining that 4 cent gain that we'd seen earlier on. It's currently at 207, and now it's just closed at 207 and a quarter. So that's not much in the way of an upward dynamic in here. Soybeans also slipped back, closing up only 2, losing a gain of over 9. I think the market's a little bit twitchy about the U.S. government's crop report, which I believe is coming out on the 12th of October. And the crops in the U.S. are very good. They're much better than last year. That's why the prices are so low. Now, my hunch is that a lot of people are thinking, as I am, that this is a case of sell the rumor, buy the news. In other words, that the bad news in terms of the good crop, which depresses the price, is pretty well factored into the market, and that we're very close to a significant rebound. Well, I'm positioned for that, as you know, although I didn't take advantage of that opportunity to increase my corn position when it was down around that 202, but that's my strategy, as I say, is to increase that corn position in either direction, either buying on weakness, buying a little bit more on weakness, or following a good clear dynamic on the upside. And today does not qualify, although it was mildly encouraging for the bulls. But maybe we have to wait until the report on the 12th is out of the way. Now, the industrial metals were all firm in here today, and I see copper looks like that's, no, they're all firm in here today, full stop. So the old supply and elasticity trades still doing extremely extremely well. Have a splendid evening, folks.